So tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm that cried for you.
Well, the poll's been up for about 20 minutes or so. 161 votes are in. After two losses to the Lions in the regular season, are you confident the Packers could beat the Lions in Detroit in the postseason? 67.5% say yes, they do believe the Packers could go back to Detroit and win.
No doubt, Greg. They could.
I'm in that camp.
What camp?
Of believing the Packers could go back to Detroit and win. They could win the postseason.
Yes.
I did not walk away from that Thursday night game thinking, wow. There is, you know, the Lions are here, then the Grand Canyon, then the Green Bay Packers.
No, yeah, start fast.
But you also have to play, you got to be cleaner. You know, seven penalties and a turnover, that's not the recipe for a win.
Yeah, and start fast.
Right? So, you know, it certainly the components are there, talent's there, no doubt. The Lions are riding a heater right now. They're a good team. Everybody loves the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Money's on the Lions, and with good reason. But could the Packers go back there and win? I do believe they could.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I do believe they could. What does Jason Wilde think? ESPN Wisconsin, Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin alongside Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. Not sure if he discussed that earlier today, Wilde, on the program, but as we assess where the Packers are in the hierarchy of the NFC, do you believe they could go to Detroit and win a postseason game?
Well, first of all, good evening, fellas. They would have to start faster, from what I hear from Gary.
Start fast.
He made it very clear. Look, Here's the difference in how I'm kind of interpreting your poll, which I have voted on, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Could they win? Yeah. Am I confident they would win? Not so sure about that. I need to look. They need to give me more. Do I think they're a good team? I do. They need to give me more than what they've given me at this point for me to be confident that they can do anything of major import in the playoffs, right? They're 2-4 against teams that currently have winning records. I think this game on Sunday night is a colossal game, not only for momentum and not only for solidifying whatever wild card spot they're going to end up in, but for those of us that are trying to figure out what exactly they are and just how good they are, winning this game would give me a lot more, and I'm not saying Seattle is some sort of great shakes by any means, but winning this game would make me feel a lot stronger about, okay, this is, I feel good now. This is a very good football team because I'm looking at their schedule. I don't see a whole lot of signature wins, and they have not measured up against the teams that maybe the three of us sit around and go, oh, I still think the Packers are as good as those guys, but they lost to Philly. They've lost to the Lions twice. They've lost to the Vikings and got down 28-0 in that game. And after watching the Vikings, and I know the Falcons aren't the best team in the league by any stretch either, but I think we're probably, all of us, guilty of downplaying what the Vikings have done to this point and being dismissive of them. And I am eager for Sunday night, and I am eager for December 29th to see what the Packers do in that game. The other two games, they have no business losing to the Saints on Monday Night Football in a couple weeks and in the finale to the Bears. So they should win those two and be at minimum 11-6. But I want to see what they do in these two road games they have remaining, and that will decide, for me anyway, how much confidence I have in them.
Sounds like Jason's saying that the Packers are SMU, maybe, no signature wins. Good, but no.
Well, hey, when SMU, who does SMU have in the first round?
I believe they have Penn State, if I'm not mistaken.
So when the Pony Express ends Penn State season, then I'll be saying the same thing that I'll be saying about the Packers after they beat the Seahawks and the Vikings on the road. Okay, they're legit.
You know what? And and I don't know why we're talking about the Lions so much, and that can they beat the Lions? But just look up down the road over there in Minnesota. I mean, the Vikings just won't go away.
Nope.
Sam Darnold, I think, is playing much better than anybody thought he could ever play. He was on display there this weekend because we didn't have a game. So go watch the Vikings play the Falcons. They're not that good. But still, what Sam Darnold has been able to do. I guess we probably could ask ourselves, and I don't know if it would happen, can we go to Minnesota and win?
Yeah, a fair question. I think everybody assumes that the Packers can and will because they don't believe in Minnesota and they think that they're, you know, kind of a figment of our imaginations. But look, at some point we got to give Kevin O'Connell a bunch of credit, right?
And look,
I don't mean to disparage poor Kirk Cousins and kick him when he's down, but before he got hurt last year, Kirk Cousins, pretty good. The year before, when they won all those close games with Kevin O'Connell in his first year as the coach, Kirk Cousins, really good. Kirk Cousins now, not very good. Sam Darnold in New York with the Jets, not very good. Sam Darnold with the 49ers and the Carolina Panthers as a backup, not real good. Sam Darnold with Kevin O'Connell, pretty darn good. Maybe this Kevin O'Connell character knows what he's doing.
Jason Wilde joining us here. It's Pottawatomie Sportsbook Football Monday. So we were talking about Jaden Reed's kind of stretch here of games, Jason, where we've not seen him top 100 yards in several weeks. In fact, he's not top 26 yards receiving.
Isn't top 100 yards in the 4 weeks combined?
I know. It's been interesting to see, right? So it's a combo platter here. Number of targets is down, though he did have a couple of touchdowns against Minnesota. Against Miami on Thanksgiving night. Great. But targets down, receptions down, yardage totals way down. Is this the ultimate combo platter where it's he's seen a lot of man coverage, they're riding Josh Jacobs, there's multiple weapons, teams are giving him extra attention. Like what do you see that has led to this four-game stretch of sort of head-scratching numbers?
Well, it's funny because that was kind of the topic du jour today, and I just filed my story to the State Journal about it, too. I talked to Jaden Reed for a while as he was leaving the locker room, and you know, he and I have a really good working relationship, and I knew he didn't want to have a big, huge group surround him at his locker, so Domofsky talked to him for a few minutes one-on-one, and then I did, and we kind of compared notes afterward, and you know, I think the most important thing is that he didn't show up for work and bellyache about his role. He didn't no-show for work like one of his teammates did recently or earlier in the season when he was unhappy with his role. And Matt LaFleur approached him at practice and said, "Hey, man, our bad. We got to get to the ball more. We're not doing a good enough job of that." So he didn't have to complain because his head coach and play caller recognized the failure of this offense to get him more involved. Here are the numbers. 8 catches for 73 yards on 12 targets over the last 4 games. As you pointed out, 3 touchdowns out of those 8 catches. So that's a good percentage. He is still leading the team in receptions and yards despite a 4-game stretch like that. But what's really weird, and as you pointed out, maybe some of it was attention. I mean, Jaden mentioned today that the Lions were passing him off a lot in coverage, so basically making sure that one guy had him short and one guy had him down the field a little bit. He also dropped a ball that he should have caught on the second series on 2nd and 5, drew a pass interference penalty on the opening series, was supposed to be the intended target on the shot play to start the game or to start the Packers' first series in Detroit, and Love got sacked by Za'Darius Smith. So I think it's a confluence of all those things, and to Greg, your point earlier, you know, it's probably he is drawing a little bit more attention, but the bottom line is that you got to find ways to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. And one of the other things LaFleur said was that the Lions' defensive approach on Thursday night was essentially to say, look, we are going to dare you to throw. We're going to play our base personnel extensively. We'll let Brian Branch cover your third receiver when you were in 11 personnel. And we're going to make you, you know, and LaFleur was basically said, look, we wanted to run the ball. And so that meant that they went with more of their so-called big people, so 2 tight ends instead of 3 wides, And so Jaden Reed was kind of the odd man out in terms of snaps, and he only played 25 snaps. Now, the problem is they only got 50 total snaps. So they're also, you know, their third down has been crummy again, so they haven't converted enough to keep drives going. Same thing that happened in the Bears game where they were like 14 and a half minutes fewer time of possession than the Bears had. That kind of happened again with the Lions. So I do think it's a confluence of events, but as kind of LaFleur pointed out, none of that's an excuse. They still got to find a way to get the guy the ball more.
Yeah, they do. But I think there's a lot happening here, Jason, in that I think if you look at time of possession, number of plays that they're running, they still got to get him involved in the offense. But then I think the offense has shifted and changed a little bit. Josh Jacobs now I think has become more the focal point. They're also now throwing him the football out of the backfield. Feels like Chris Brooks is playing a little bit more and getting some carries. Now Christian Watson seems to emerge more over the last couple of weeks. And I think he's kind of gotten away from it. He does, and him and Jordan Love specifically, probably need to pay attention to, you know, what the game plan is and what they're trying to get done. But I just think time of possession and number of plays run is kind of hurting this team
but
offensively.
You're not even seeing like an orbit motion, right? Nothing to even say, whoa, there goes 11. Keep an eye on 11 because, you know what I mean? Like, there's an evolution to the offense where, I get it, week 14 shouldn't look like week 4. There's going to be some changes. But he's a dynamic playmaker, man. Get the ball in his hands, and good things tend to happen. And that's where it seems to be a tad askew in the last several weeks.
Wow, I don't know. You wanted to get, or I know you wanted to get orbit motion because it sounds cool in there. But then dropping in
it really does.
Well, you can't be using these big words that confuse me over here, Greg. This is going to come as a surprise to everybody who listens to us on a regular basis, either here or on Green Bay game night. But I agree with you, Gary. Look, Jordan Love completed 12 passes against the Lions. Now, they went for like 200-plus yards, but if you only complete 12 passes, it's hard to get everybody touches, right? He only attempted 20
right.
passes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is that's undeniably part of it. And the other part of it, as you astutely pointed out, I wanted to get an astutely in to battle the askew for moments ago, I do think the offense has shifted. I think they realize that Jordan Love is going to make fewer bad decisions and have more effective throws downfield with some play action attached to it if they run the offense through Josh Jacobs, and he's more of a primary focus. And quite frankly, that was one of the things I didn't understand about their game plan against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, Tausch got after me saying I was basically using results to make this argument, but I don't think I was. Like, the first play to call a shot play, like, I totally got it last year, right? Like, I can't remember which
Agreed.
Sports Center anchor it was. It's not John Anderson, but they used to say, announces his presence with authority. Was it Larry Beal? Was he the one who used that?
Sounds about right.
I'm just guessing. But hey, they're going into Detroit. They want to send a message on Thanksgiving. They're a 4-6 football team, so it's not like they're good at the time, right? And so they want to say, hey, we're here. We ain't messing around. And awesome. Boom. Take the shot. Works out great. You set the tone for the whole day, and you go in there and you kick their butts. I didn't think you needed to do that in a game where it's 11-1 versus 9-3. And here's the biggest thing, against the defense that is completely depleted at both linebacker and on the defensive line. I'm going in there and saying, hey, you guys are so banged up, we're going to make you more banged up with our big bruising running back. We dare you to try and stop us. We're going to bring in an extra lineman and play two tight ends plus an extra lineman. We're going to run it right up your you-know-what. So I didn't, you know, and then so instead you set the tone of the game that you get a sack on the opening play. Now you do get the first down because of the pass interference on Brian Branch on the pass to Jaden Reed. But then you peter out. You end up punting. You end up punting on your second series. You go nowhere on that second series when you got the ball at the 48-yard line. And then your third series, you finally get an explosive play, and Christian Watson fumbles at the end of it. You lose the ball. So, you know, if you're going to be in a shootout, you can't go punt, punt, fumble in your first three drives, because then you end up losing at the end of the game, and it ends up costing you.
Jason, real quick, just with the understanding that Sunday's game in Seattle could end up being a wild card round playoff preview, the Packers are, I think, one win away from being a lock to be a postseason team. I think their chances are at about 98% right now. If they were to lose to Seattle, their chances would still be 96% of being a playoff team.
Huh.
How does Matt LaFleur approach this game? Do you hold anything in reserve? Is his playbook so vast that it really doesn't matter? Do what you need to do to get a win and worry about the postseason when it comes?
Yeah, I think he was pretty clear and pretty adamant today that we can't. This is how he was talking to his players, according to him. We can't be worrying about anything else down the road, or we're gonna get. And he said we're gonna get our ass kicked if we do that. And so I don't think he's reserving anything. I think it's a good question. I had not thought about it in those terms. And if we go back to 2009, because that's the kind of stuff I do, given how long I've covered this stinking team, almost as long as it's been since Gary started playing for it. But they held nothing back when they went with McCarthy in 2009, and it was to Arizona in the last game of the regular season. And when they kicked that game off, they knew they were going to be playing the Cardinals the following week in the playoff game. And they held nothing back, and they kind of ticked off Ken Wisenhunt by playing the way they did in a meaningless regular season finale. And then we all know that they went back there and lost 51-45 on the fumble at the end in overtime. So I don't think he's going to hold anything back. I think they need to win this game. I really do. Like, not for making the playoffs or not, but to really kind of send a message both to the league and to each other that we're a force to be reckoned with. And they need to make, I think this would be a really good statement game on the road against a potential playoff opponent to play at that level.
And a tough place to play, as we all understand. Jason Wilde, ESPN Wisconsin's Wilde and Tausch. It's 9 to noon. Check him out tomorrow morning on your way to work, maybe at work, or on demand at wisconsinondemand.com. Good stuff as always, Jason. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Take care. Be good.
Yep, you too. 6:50 here on 94.5 ESPN. If the playoffs started today, Packers would be a number 6 seed. They would travel to Seattle to play the Seahawks in round one. We'll take a closer look at the playoff path, potentially, for the Packers coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. More of the good, bad, and ugly from Thursday night's loss to the Lions after this.